Welcome to
Look Beyond Face Value, the podcast that asks you
to ask
who, what, when, where, why,
but mostly why.
I'm Jessica Jeffery. I'm here being coerced less than normal because this is all about Edison.
Yeah. And I'm Crystal Jeffery, and I enjoy microhistory just a little too much.
A little bit too much.
But we are going to start off this amazing second season
with the thank you for waiting patiently for these new episodes and coming through this ride and this journey with us. Last season was a little bit hectic. We changed our name 3 times. We changed how we did it quite a few times. The only thing that's remained the same is us.
And we're here, and we're back, and we're here for you, and
thank you for joining us.
Yeah, again. That part, yes. Let's go talk about Edison now.
Yes, please.
You ready?
Yes.
Tell me everything you know about Edison.
Really, this is not much.
Okay.
People around here idolize him.
Yes.
But I know the truth of him is he was a raging jerk face. We're here in Port Huron, Michigan.
What's the significance? The
city. I don't know. Like, I didn't care enough to learn in school.
And you lived here.
But now that I'm an adult and I hear everybody idolizing him, and I've heard many stories about him being a jerk, stealing patents and whatnot.
Okay.
But that's really all I know. I just know that nobody should idolize him.
What did he make? What did he invent?
It was like the telephone, wasn't it?
No. But around that time. Light bulb, yeah.
Light bulb. The light bulb? Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. So the reason everyone loves Edison in our city, we live in Port Huron, Michigan, is that when Edison was a kid, he lived here. He was born...
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he was born in Ohio in 1847. And then when he was, like, 7 in 1854, he came to Port Huron, and he lived here until he was 19. And at that point, he moved up to Kentucky. Mm. He's been there for a couple of years.
Yeah, we pass his childhood home all the time.
Yeah, Port Huron is the... That's the childhood home of Edison, yes.
I knew that.
Yes. That's why we have a museum, and there's a statue by the Blue Water Bridge that leads over to Canada. People here love this guy. And rightfully so. I mean, he's an important figure in American history. And in history in general, he had patents not only in the United States, but he had them all over the world. 34 countries had patents under his name. He's everywhere. And some of his most notable inventions. He did not invent the light bulb, though. I'm going to put that out there. That's going to be our first. That's not exactly how it worked. It was already around. And it was trying to get pretty much it improved enough that it could last more than a little bit of time. It could actually be useful for being an actual light bulb and last for days and
Wasn't one of the things between AC and DC current?
Yes.
Not the band.
Did you ask that just so you could put in an AC/DC band joke?
No. I would never.
No, not at all. No. Yes, that was part of it too. That was a big chunk of his life. But some of the bigger things that he invented was direct current. That's the DC part of it. He was the component for... Do you see what I did there?
Yeah.
He was the component for direct current. He improved the telegraph. He was huge in the motion picture industry. He is the main reason they are in Los Angeles and not New Jersey. And electric light, improved microphones, and telephones. So he did a bunch of stuff. He was an important guy. And what I really appreciate about him is that when he opened up his lab in Menlo Park in New Jersey, he hired other men, because, you know, back then, you know, late 1800s, only men could think and do stuff. So he hired a bunch of other men to come and work for him. People that wouldn't have had this chance opportunity without Edison had that chance. He made the first scientific laboratory, pretty much. He was the Wizard of Menlo Park. He had the first modern-day laboratory out there. So, yeah, so it was really important.
What did he screw over in the meantime?
A lot of guys there. So that's where, like, there is no actual patent records for everything he had because of, you know, systems compromising and shutting down and the record keeping at the time. But also, who knows, like, if you work for a company and you make something while working for that company, often, depending, and no, I am not the legal scholar.
You but are not from, a legal scholar
not by
at
far.
All.
But from the business sense, you make it and you work for them, they can own that piece of technology or written work or whatever. It depends on, you know, circumstances and whatnot. But for this, in this instance, you worked for Edison. He's your boss. He's putting all these patents in on his name. It's his. And who knows where your name was written down? Who knows if someone else knew it?
If your name was written
down. Yeah, and at this point, it's over 100 years. So a lot of it's, all of it's hearsay. All of it's, this, my grandfather told me this, and he found out from his grandfather who found out it. So there's really no true way to figure any of it out. Instead of focusing on, though, those pieces that most people know, that he invented the light bulb or was a big player in that, and the AC/DC war, and just those facts, I use that word loosely.
Facts?
Yeah.
I've never heard that tone of voice be put towards that word.
No?
Mm-mm.
I was going to educate you on the list of reasons I've found that Edison isn't the best person that should be highlighted in history in the ways that he is. And one of the main ones that I want to at least give to you first, because you are a very, very family-oriented wife, mother, everything, is that he was not the best husband. He was...
Color me surprised?
He was very successful. Very successful. But he was also an obsessed workaholic and just consumed with his success and his work and his inventions and his science, and would do anything at all costs to make his dreams a reality, to make this work. And his wife, Mary Edison, she ended up dying in 1884 at the age of 29.
Ooh.
And
even I know back then was...
It was
29
bad.
Was really young.
Right, and they don't even really know how she died, because they're either labeling it a brain tumor or a morphine overdose. Not really sure which one.
That's and she quite was, a difference.
And she was known to have health issues and whatnot, but a lot of people played it to she misses him or she wants his attention or wants attention because he's getting all of this or she's jealous. And she, yeah, she was sick a lot, but there's only so much that it's sick versus you weren't there for her. So he wasn't there at all really anyway, because the house that he lived in and the lab were right next door to each other, but often he just slept in the lab. He was barely home. He barely saw his kids. Which means at least he was with his wife for a little bit, because they had kids.
Yeah, that's true.
So there's a plus there. But even
very small plus.
Even when she died, though, he was out on a work trip, and it took him 3 more weeks to come home for her. Like, he got a call from her, or maybe a telegram. It probably was a telegram, because, you know, the phone wasn't doing great. But he found out while out and about miles and miles and miles away that, hey, she's asking for you to come home. She's not doing great, dude. Your wife's, you're not, you know, do something. And he's with the work colleague, who's also like, yo, you might want to, you know, take care of your wife here.
Yeah.
He's like, no, she's fine. She does this all the time. Dead. And he still doesn't come back. Like, that's...
So after she passes away, did he come back?
Yeah, he did eventually. I mean, yeah, because, you know, there's a house there and stuff. But the main part of it was just he'd rather be in his lab and working than with his family and being a husband and raising his kids. He did get married again after that, and that woman was more into the work and everything else. This is the first love, the big age gap type thing that was the stereotypical at the time. But from what it from reading about his first wife, it just doesn't sound like he was the upstanding husband like it sounds like he was as the upstanding scientist that found all of the stuff for humanity. Yeah, but still, I guess, and like you were saying, life was rough back then, but you still were kind of there to pretend to
care. Pretend to live?
Pretend to care. I do care about your ailments. I'm sorry you died. I'll at least come back to make your funeral arrangements.
Which she didn't. Did he?
Well, he came back a couple weeks after she died, so we're going to go with yes to give him some benefit here.
The benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. It's a nice thing to do, right? Just be nice.
Yeah, let's go with that.
All right. This is not going to anywhere be in order. These are just my takes on these bigger issues.
Gasp. Because,
yeah, right? Because we're going to go jump forward, then go back. But the next thing that I'd like to point out to you is that he was forced out of his own company. What does the name GE stand for?
General?
Yes, it's still...
Electronics?
General Electric.
Hey, I was close.
Yeah, yeah. He was a big part of that when it was first there. But he had his company of Edison Electric, and that ended up merging with J.P. Morgan in his company. He was...
Jeez. What? What?
I don't know. It's random.
Chase Bank. J.P. Morgan Chase Bank.
Electricity banking. No, focus.
Focus, focus. All right.
We're complaining about Edison. We're not...
Shiny.
We're not complaining about banks right now. That's later.
That's another episode.
Yeah. So we have J.P. Morgan.
Chase. Sorry. I won't do it again.
You sure? So the brand merges to make another new bank called Huntington. And the board...
Bank.
And the board dropped his name, so we just have General Electric or GE. So they didn't want Edison General Electric because Edison at that point was just...
EGE sounds dumb.
It kind of does, yeah. But he was... Him and Tesla had a beef. Tesla wasn't treated very kindly by Edison.
So is that where we get the joke? What do you call a Tesla if it's been stolen?
Yeah. What do you call it?
An Edison.
It's probably where the joke came from, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't drive a Tesla, I drive an Edison.
Are we going to learn where that joke originated? Like, why it originated, rather?
Yeah, I mean, that's, yes. Yes. You've beat me to it, though, but yes, we are.
I tend to do that.
Yeah.
I apologize, dear listeners.
So when I get to that part, then you can remind me that that was where the joke was.
Okay.
Okay. So... Part of the reason why he was kicked out of Edison General Electric was his tactics against alternating current. So Tesla had alternating current, and Edison had DC current. And Edison couldn't accept that AC current was better. It got the job done.
What do our houses run on right now?
We all run on AC current.
Okay.
That they have the transmitters
and that battle.
Yeah, he really lost that battle. He wanted to do direct current everywhere, of course, because that was his invention and it would have made him money and whatever else.
What did people call it? That was his baby.
Probably.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. And he couldn't just be like, yeah, you're right, this is slightly better. Because you would have had to have the stations every, like, I don't know, half a mile. Just obscenely close to each other just to have electricity. It wasn't able to carry electricity like we need.
Are we talking AC or DC?
DC, the one Edison had.
DC, okay.
It couldn't carry power like we need it. So AC can carry it hundreds of miles. It can be made, you know, transponders and rather the transformers, power plants really, really far away. Don't know the right words, but get the concept. It can be made really, really far away and still travel just as far as it needs to go on AC. And okay. Guess who made that? We kind of told you that already.
Tesla!
Yeah, look at that. So.
So Tesla headed out DC. And
no.
Oh.
Tesla headed out AC, which is what we have
which
today.
Which is what we have, okay. Tesla headed out AC.
Mm-hmm.
And Edison's baby was
DC. Direct current.
So Edison had financial stock in keeping DC alive.
Right. Yeah. So he was forced out of the Edison Electric Company because of how he treated AC current. His tactics to try to convince people that DC was the way and the only way was just not okay, and his stockholders were not happy. He didn't want just to back something that he didn't invent, and he wouldn't stop.
He refused to back something just because he didn't invent it?
Yeah, because that was better than his. What kind of man would he be? What kind of person, inventor, American?
Decent human being?
Yeah, it's... But that's...
Okay.
That's why, yeah. And that comes to the... Well, actually, let's go back. We'll just go back to why him and Tesla had their beef, and why if you steal a Tesla...
It becomes an Edison. So what did Edison steal from Tesla?
It was more on what he did to Tesla. So Tesla was born in modern-day Croatia.
And because I definitely know where that is.
Okay.
But I'm sure some other people won't. So where's Croatia?
It's over in Europe. Right east of Italy.
Oh, that's right. I totally knew
that. You remembered that now?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Good. Good. I'm glad. Glad we're straight on that. So, at least something's straight. So he was born.
Can we get away with, like, not making a gay joke every single episode we have?
It wouldn't have been gay if you had not pointed it out.
Okay.
So, 1856, Tesla's born. Does his thing. He invents some stuff. Goes to school for it. Really smart guy.
Super smart.
He thinks about, you know, he started actually working on DC current. Worked and ended up over in Paris. And finally ended up in New York City in 1884. And that's how he met Edison. Was working on the direct current.
Oh.
He found a better way to do it, though. Because Edison was putting lights in New York. He was going to make New York the first electric city. Like, he was going to light up New York. And it kept getting delayed and stalled because his shit kept breaking.
Because he was on DC.
So he hired Tesla, and the story goes that he told him, if you can fix the... Because it was in, a bunch of buildings. There was a bunch of crap to fix. I'm not going into the electric part of it, because my job here is to make history fun, not teach electricity.
Yeah.
But it was pretty much, you fix this stuff, I will give you $50,000. And he's poor. He just, immigrated over. He's one of those I'm on a boat stories from New York. Ends up in New York with $3 in his pocket and the shirt on his back. He's one of those stories.
Yeah. Okay.
So, holy crap, $50,000, that's a bunch of money.
Yeah, who would say no to that?
He gets out his duct tape and spends 6 months going from building to building and fixing the stuff. And when he goes to Edison and says, hey, boss, guess what? I fixed your shit. He laughs at him and says, that wasn't a true, I'm going to give this to you.
He made it out to be a joke.
He made it out to be a joke and told him that he doesn't understand American humor. There are various versions of this. Some of which were you had to go fix generators, which I was talking about. And there was another that was a sign-on bonus. Not sign-on bonus, but...
Sign-on bonus is the one that I've heard of.
That you build these 24 different types of components for the machines, and you get this money. But either way, they're kind of odd statements to have for the company at the time, because they didn't have that kind... That wasn't a thing then. The boss was stingy. There was it's back to the whole oral history of who knows what happened.
Yeah.
But either way, Tesla left Machine Works after 6 months and went on his merry way. But he also didn't then have money. He was stuck digging ditches for a time with his degrees in science and his massive brain that can build stuff and make stuff.
Yeah,
it took him talking to other people and building those foundations to actually be able to even afford paying for patents. You can't just go into the office and say, hey, patent this for me. You have to, of course, pay them.
Yeah, right. It costs money. Yes, I created this. Yes, it came out of my own brain.
Right.
But now I'm going to give the government money to make sure nobody else can make this either.
Right. So that's what it was a lot of meeting with investors and in the meantime trying to, like, you know, live and survive and eat.
Yeah,
and
let's stay alive.
And not die of whatever plague happens to be going around that week. But good fortune comes around because in the late 1880s, he meets Westinghouse, who has money. He's big.
Westinghouse is...
George Westinghouse. He did a bunch of also really important stuff. We should do an episode on him. Because he's one of those names, like, you've heard of him. Like, Rockefeller and... Like, there's those names of people that have a bunch of money and they affect our world today, but how?
Yeah.
He's one of those guys.
Sounds like you're really excited over him.
Yeah, well, because he basically wasn't a douchebag. I mean, look at that. Just don't be an asshole. And he partnered up with Tesla... And there was the current wars. That was an actual term for it. Current wars of 1887 and 1888.
There's a real name to it?
Because they were going back and forth about this. And they were doing whatever they could to make electricity happen. Yeah.
Wow.
Screwed that one up, too. I had the words backwards. It was War of the Currents, not Current War.
Still, the War of fact the that it has a name, like, wow.
Yeah, it was huge. Yeah. So, Tesla's not happy. He goes and does his own thing. New York gets lit up. Take that as you will. Okay. They're now. But the AC/DC is still going on. That in 1893, the World's Fair's coming around. We got the World's Fair, and they're both vying to be the person that lights up the World's Fair. Because everything about now is about getting lit up, but not in the sense that we would have in today's day and age.
Okay.
And he's a bad sport, Edison, rather, because he lost this contract. He didn't win the contract to light up the World's Fair. So after that, and after getting, you know, his face smashed in the road over everything else from the current wars and whatnot, he's just tired of this Tesla guy that came from another country, this foreigner. How dare he... Whatever horrible things people said at the time about foreigners. So after he lost, after Edison lost this contract with the World's Fair, he went out and started a smear campaign against Tesla and AC and their mother. Anybody that liked them, pretty much.
Can he get any better?
No. Harold Brown was an electrical engineer and he became the front man of the media campaign that printed pamphlets on the dangers of AC power out of AC current. It was just like, I guess it's not AC
but
current, it's alternating current.
True?
No, like, well, it could kill you, but so could licking a light socket right now. Yeah, it's going to kill you, but don't do that. And yes, it's in the infant years of electricity and whatnot, but it was to make it into what the electricity that we have today. It needed to be more stable. It needed a better foundation. It needed to go more than a mile before you needed another transponder. It needed stuff.
Yeah.
I know that's not the right word, and it's killing me right now. But they didn't have the power stations that they needed. You can't have little power stations on every city block. It's not feasible. And that's what you needed to grow it. You needed AC. And Edison would do what it took to show how horrible this stuff is, this AC. He would pay city kids, like, not city kids, I shouldn't say city kids, it makes them sound horrible, orphans and kids that didn't have anywhere to go and were starving. It seems to be a thing of right now is the starving thing. You know, give money to people so they can feed themselves and they'll do whatever you want. So these kids would catch dogs and cats for 25 cents apiece, which is a decent amount of money, especially when you're 8, and hand them over to Edison. You can see where this is going.
Please don't.
And would electrocute them in the streets, along with horses. There was an elephant at one point.
This episode needs, like, a trigger warning.
But he was showing the dangers of, look how dangerous this is. This will kill your puppy. And, well, yeah, don't do that. So they didn't want it to be in their house where little Johnny could grab it or catch your house on fire or, you know, whatever.
Can you blame them?
Well, no, but it's also a new invention, and it's a scare tactic. It's just like, you know, when cars were invented, if you went, you know, several years in the future and said, if you knew that 60 million people were going to die on these roads, and you're like, what the hell's a car? Like, no one would want that. But can you imagine life without it now?
You know, when the first automobiles came to be.
Like that one outside that's driving through. Yes.
Yeah, hi.
Hey.
Doctors told women not to drive fast.
Yes.
Yeah. Because it would make their uteruses fall out.
They gotta keep women in check somehow.
That's how far we've come in science.
We've come some, yeah. We're not there yet because we're still back in the 1890s at this point. Where the word Westinghoused with a D meant to describe an execution by electrocution. Because we were getting the invention of the electric chair at the time. So we were promoting, we as Edison and his lovely campaign manager, Harold Brown over here, were telling people that if you get electrocuted, it's called being Westinghouse.
That is so interesting, actually.
Yeah.
To me, that they tried to coin a phrase for electrocution.
Yeah.
That's neat to think about. It never stuck.
But luckily, it didn't stick, luckily, just like his name sticking on GE. Edison was against capital punishment. He wasn't in favor of it. Unless it was to smear Tesla and saying how horrible he was as a person and how dare you. And then he's suddenly okay with it. And then over to what I find the most interesting is that the movie industry left New Jersey over this guy. He had a monopoly on, like, everything. In 1908, the Association of Edison Licensees were the ones that were able to make movies. So he controlled, like, the patents for the sound and the visuals and everything else. So you didn't really have a chance if you were some little business trying to make any sort of money because you couldn't get the film or you couldn't get the camera because everything was under Edison. Like, the company Biograph refused to join and just be part of Edison, and they got ran into the dirt, and finally they compromised, which ended up forming the Motion Picture Patents Company. But at that point, he really had just taken over the market and had monopoly on everything. From film, he joined with Eastman Kodak, so now he had that portion taken over, and independent filmmakers were over it, and they were over his reach, and they were over his domination, and they're like, screw it, it snows and it's cold here anyway. So they moved out to California because it had better weather, and it didn't have Edison. And it
didn't have Edison.
Yeah, so in 1911, Kodak started to sell to unlicensed peeps, being like, yo, make some movies for me. You know, we need some other movies out here. Give Griffin some room for his money. And
so, could he do that, though, if Edison held a whole bunch of patents?
It was like kind of like whack-a-mole at that point, trying to catch everybody.
Yeah,
and he really couldn't. He wasn't supposed to, but shortly thereafter, in 1915, the Motion Picture Patents Company was sued by the U.S. government for being a monopoly.
Oh, that's right. Those are not allowed in the U.S.
Yeah, look at that.
Hey, look at that.
And that led to progression that we, after the golden age of cinema, we lost that, so we didn't have just MGM making everything from start to finish and in the movie houses and the way that it was. Because, yeah, no, it's not fair for monopolies to exist.
True.
So, no, it didn't last. But, yeah, that's what I got. Those were the back other pieces of Edison that aren't really out there as much of why he isn't the best person. And yes, he's done great things. I don't want to completely shit on him, even though it's kind of late. But personality-wise, and that's where I am with things. You can
be great deeds does not overshadow a lifetime of negative actions.
Yeah. It's just being nice and kind. And can you imagine what Tesla and Edison would have come up with had they worked together?
Oh my god. But no. Edison had to be such a jerkwad.
Yep, he was a jerkface.
Massive jerkface.
And there are people, lots of people, who back Edison. They think that the Tesla stories are overblown and it was Tesla's fault. And so there are people that completely back Edison. And I know I'm biased and I have I'm assuming facts because it doesn't like just be, it's not just Wikipedia.com or, you know, go to .org and reputable websites.
Yeah.
But it's also, when you see the same thing over and over again, it makes you wonder, did he do in podcasts. That's usually my thing is my educational podcast, and no one in my family wants to listen to if they're in the car with
me. Not a single one.
Nope. Anyway, what else you got?
Mm-hmm.
You got anything? Any questions, any comments, concerns, suggestions, letters for upper management, letters to the dead?
Oh, I could write some letters to Edison.
What are you going to think now when we drive past the statue, when we go down to the water?
Same thing I've always thought.
But more clearly.
But more clearly, yeah. With more meaning.
Do we have a takeaway lesson then for the week?
The same lesson as always, though. Be kind. Do what you can to build people up. Think about, like what you said, what kind of inventions would we have if somebody like Tesla and Edison had worked together in harmony? Where would our technology be now?
I don't remember now. That's a good, yeah.
So if you could just be kind, work with people, even if you don't like their personality, think of the things that we could create.
Even if you didn't like their personality, didn't work with them, you could still just leave them alone, let them do their thing with other people that you drive with.
Very true.
Yeah. But as with this podcast, look into where the stories came from. Why are they out there? Why do you hear what you do and you don't hear the rest? Who chose that and who chose to show you that?
Media.
But even from the historical standpoint, and that's why we're here and we try to make it more fun, and I don't tell her everything I'm going to talk about, because history's boring to a lot of people.
Me included.
The main part is just question everything and look beyond face value, because there's a story down there that you might not have seen. So
there's plenty of history that never got reported. Either because it wasn't good newsworthy, it wasn't gripping enough,
weird enough, fascinating enough, money.
There's tons of stuff we don't know just because media or politics deemed it not interesting enough to share with us.
Until we come back next week with another riveting tale of past unharmonization of foes.
I like that.
Until we're able to see you again next week, we ask you to continue looking around and
look beyond face value.